Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Yesterday was absolutely insane. If you're anywhere near the Illawarra, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. People were heading down the street in canoes.
It's just crazy. Magdalena described it in weather ways yesterday, but apparently all this moisture in the atmosphere, and it just all... Because they didn't predict it. They didn't expect all this rain.
No, we were meant to have just some light showers across the weekend, maybe some real rain on Monday, and it... Yeah. Bucketed the whole time.
Absolutely. So it's because of all the water in the atmosphere and it fell.
Oh, so now it's completely exhausting itself, and tomorrow apparently we're going to start a few days of just nothing but sunshine. No cloudy with scattered showers.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny.
This does mean bad things for the weekend. It means that everybody's lawn in the state, it was hit by the rain and
then
the sunshine.
It's going to look like a wheat crop.
It will. It will. Yeah. And you'll have to go out and bring in the sheaves.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Beautiful day if you're a duck, right?
Absolutely. Or a fish, any of those kind of...
Platypi, they're probably quite happy today.
Yes, absolutely. And why not? Tomorrow's probably going to be really that humid, though, still, I suppose, with the whole... Even though it's meant to be sunny, I bet there'll be the humidity as all that water evaporates.
It's still going to be pretty stinking hot tomorrow, actually. 28 in the city and 31 in the west. That's what the Bureau's telling me here.
What do you do?
You sweat.
The Prince left just about midnight.
Yeah, he jumped on the red eye back to London.
Oh, see you later, big fella. Hope you had fun.
There'll be so many people who watch the royal wedding with completely different eyes, won't there?
I think you're right.
I met him.
And that's a good thing. It would be very tiring, I think, on the Prince, I imagine, doing that, keeping that sort of, you know...
He can sleep on the plane.
Yeah, but
if he can,
true.
You know, some people can, some people can't. That's how it works.
But even if you came and you were having a headache or a bad day, it's sort of like, suck it up.
No room
Prince.
For that.
Yeah. and that's right. So
he handed out a lot of wedding invitations. You know, he was telling a lot of people they could come. Whole rooms of people in Ipswich. You can all come to the wedding. It's like, well, book your tickets. Find an appropriate hat.
Via the television, of course. They'd probably put a disclaimer in. And the disclaimer, you're not invited. That would be good. You're all invited, disclaimer. You're not invited. That'd be good, I would think. But anyway, so that's...
I love those kind of invitations.
That's the best kind.
Hey, there was a big football game last night, NRL, the end of round two. It was the Cronulla Sharks and last year's Premiers, the Dragons. And the Sharks had a big upset win. Sharks came through with a good 16-10 over the Dragons. Very unexpected. But my favourite thing about it is that the people in the corporate boxes, it was pouring rain.
Yes.
Not only did they have corporate boxes, they had an attendant with a squeegee cleaning the glass for them so the rain didn't obstruct their view.
That's a little much.
Maybe peeling them grapes as well, but that's unconfirmed.
So this guy would have been obviously in the water outside.
Squeegeeing off the window for them. That's the rough and rugged, hardy game that league has become.
Oh, dear. And I imagine people getting annoyed. That squidgy boy is in my way. Can you just bob down a little while you do that, please?
It's good to be in the box.
They should just instill windscreen wipers.
He is the member for Swan Hill in Victoria, and Judy called him to escort Prince William around his electorate yesterday. The Honourable Peter Walsh, was it a tough day at the office?
No, it wasn't. It was an absolute pleasure on behalf of the community to help. But the focus is very much about the community with these guys. It wasn't about me or the Premier or whatever it's about. The Prince came there to talk to those particular communities on behalf of all the Victorian communities that were flooded.
And what were your first impressions when Prince William arrived?
He is very, very personable. And you look in the crowd as you follow along behind him, you just look at the thrill on people's faces to actually see him, to shake his hand, to give him a flower, do whatever they did. It was just worth it to see the faces in the crowd.
Has this done good things for the community in light of all they're still going through and suffering?
Most definitely, particularly when you've got floods, a lot of the smaller communities where we were yesterday have been cut off from each other because of the floods. And floods and flood water can be fairly divisive in a community because some people get flooded and some don't. So it was actually a very good opportunity for the community to come together and start interacting again after they'd been through the battles they have.
Well, thanks for sparing a few minutes for us this morning. Has it changed how you'll watch the royal wedding next month?
It probably has, actually. And I think one of the interesting things was he flew in a big Seahawk helicopter. There was three of them there. But apparently, and although it's not supposed to be known all that widely, he actually flew it into Kerrang.
Oh, really?
Because he is... a trained pilot on those helicopters, and one of his aides was telling me that he still does 15 hours a month flying the big helicopters just to keep his ratings up.
Good stuff.
What a skill to have. And thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
In the last day or two, Sydney got a pretty unexpected big wet, and even more so the Illawarra. Have you been caught up in some flood dramas? Just checking in with how you're doing.
Did your backyard turn into a swimming pool unexpected? Mm. I saw a great bit of vision on the news last night of a playground where kids were sliding down the slippery dip thing into the water because the water was probably ankle high. So they were having a great old... It was actually higher than that. So they'd come off the... It was like a waterworks, basically. Mm. Just came off the slippery dip and straight into the water. Parents would have loved that too,
I'm sure. As I feel like I can't endorse that. Never play in floodwaters, but... That does sound particularly fun.
In a playground, yeah. That would have been lots of fun, I'm sure. 1-300-40-2020, Hope 1032. Hello, who's this?
It's Phil.
G'day,
hey, Phil.
Phil,
have you had some flood dramas?
Well, it's just a trial where we back onto a park in Warriewood, and there's a gully at the back of the garden there, and every time it rains, we get a small lake.
Oh, yeah.
That trends, but... And often we get ducks flying in and they can't believe their luck and they land there. But last night I came home and we went to sleep with the sound of frogs. And I don't know how they find this place, but we've got frogs at the back of the garden now.
Incredible. Yeah, make sure you charge more when you sell your house. Like, it's a riverfront property now.
Well, it's a nature reserve, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. You should time, if you ever sell your house, you should time it to a bit of a wet season.
Yes.
1-300-40-2020. Hope 1032. Hello, who's this?
Hey.
Hello. Have you had some flood dramas?
Yeah, I have. Over the weekend, I just had my lounge room flood 3 times.
Oh, no. You clean it out and it comes back in again?
Yeah, it was a blockage in the pipe, so... I ended up having to clean it out 3 times over Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, no. Was it carpeted?
No, like it was tiles, but I have a white lounge, so I just managed to save the white lounge.
Oh, right. I was going to say, not anymore, you don't. Oh, good. Oh, that's hideous. Have you got some nice friends and family close by who can help?
Yeah, I have a plumber friend who I ended up calling around the second time, and I had another guy who I called around as well.
Thank goodness.
No. I did it myself on the first time, but the second time I decided I needed to call someone.
Yeah, how's your back feeling today?
Not too bad.
Good stuff.
Holding up.
Oh, well, hopefully it doesn't get flooded again. All the best with that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, it's another day of it, another day of rain today, but Wednesday is sunny, is the forecast.
And so. Thursday and Friday. It's all sunny for the rest of the week from here, thankfully.
Just don't ask about the weekend.
He's a senior lecturer with the ANU Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies in Canberra. He's formerly worked with the Australian government in intelligence and policy roles, and he helps us understand what's going on in North Africa and the Middle East at the moment. Dr. Matthew Gray, thanks for talking to us this morning.
No problem, thanks.
Now, how was the decision made to send in international troops into Libya?
Well, this was quite a controversial one. In a sense, the Americans changed their view on this slightly and came around, I think, probably with a view to how they'd be seen in history, came around to joining the British and the French and others in supporting the idea. And it was then just a matter of making sure that permanent UN Security Council members like Russia and China didn't veto the resolution, which in the end they didn't, they abstained. So that gave this authority for what people widely interpret to be an air war over Libya, but not a ground intervention.
What's it going to actually achieve having this no-fly zone, really, especially when most of the activity is actually happening on the ground?
Look, you can do some things with air power. You can't do everything, though. You certainly can't control a country completely from the air. The air power allows them to do certain things. It allows them to either destroy or to move out of the way any Libyan aircraft or helicopters that try to back the Libyan government or the Libyan pro-government militias. Air power lets you disengage groups on the ground. If there's government militia and rebels fighting, you can use air power to bomb one or the other or to break them apart. But it doesn't actually let you control territory completely. So this is one of the debates, of course, is that if the air power helps but doesn't quite work fully, what then do we do? And that's an interesting question, because I don't think many people want to actually be putting troops into Libya.
Yeah, what is the ultimate aim? Are they staying until Gaddafi's out of power?
Well, people are still a bit unsure. That seems to be what's behind some of the American tactics. They seem to be actually going after Gaddafi himself. Now, normally in wartime you can do this if the head of government or the head of state is the head of the armed forces, or they hold a military rank, you can go after them. But this is different. This is basically enforcing a UN resolution precluding Libyan aircraft from flying, so it's much more limited than a declaration of war. And I wonder if the Americans are going too far, if they're actually going after Gaddafi or his family or things like that, because I would have interpreted the UN Security Council Resolution 973 as basically saying, you know, you can do what you need to do to stop their air force flying, but not beyond that. It's not a declaration of war.
I find it interesting also that on the ground, Libya called for a ceasefire, but it was violated immediately. That doesn't sound great to me.
It doesn't sound great. The problem is we don't really know what's going on with that. The Libyan troops ought to have a basic right of self-defense. So if they were withdrawing and they were attacked by rebel forces, they ought to have a right of self-defense. However, what this looks like is different to that. This looks like they've made the public or international declaration of a ceasefire basically to tell the Western world what it wants to hear, and then they've got on with actually attacking rebel positions. So if they've done that, it's a sign that Gaddafi really is just mucking around and trying to deceive the outside world if he's basically declared a ceasefire and then gone in and attacked the rebels. But it is plausible, and the government, Libyan government line is that these troops were attacked by the rebels. And if that's the case, then at least self-defense is plausible and allowable, I think. But, I agree with you. It looks pretty dodgy.
Do we have any idea of a timeline for how long the coalition forces will be in there?
No, this is one of the sort of first laws of a war, that once you start a military conflict, all that sort of stuff tends to go out the window. Now, I think in this case, it's going to be at one level very simple militarily. The Libyan Air Force is a B-grade or C-grade 1970s Air Force these days. So it's not a military challenge to knock their planes out of the sky or close their runways or things like that. The problem comes with the effects of all of this. The Western world, NATO and those enforcing the no-fly zone, are going to have to decide whether they want to back the rebels against Gaddafi. Do they want to actually attack Gaddafi's political or symbolic targets to help the rebels? Do they want to get in there and actually help one side win? Or are they just doing this as a no-fly zone to stop the Libyan Air Force flying? And those are very different things, and that could dictate a very different outcome. To just enforce a no-fly zone would be pretty simple and straightforward and relatively safe. Once you start getting into, you know, bombing a range of different targets, you'll wind up with civilian casualties, you'll wind up with uncertain political outcomes, and even long-term, we still don't know enough about the rebels to be absolutely confident of what sort of government they're going to form if they manage to remove Gaddafi.
Great to talk to you this morning. No doubt there'll be more conversations as this situation continues to change. Dr. Matthew Gray, appreciate your time.
Indeed. Thanks a lot.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.